A large crowd assembled in St. Peter's Square in Rome on March the 13th, 2013. You know what happened on that day? Come on. Judah must know. No. If Judah doesn't know, nobody knows. Well, a loud voice came from the balcony. Habemus Papam, we have a Pope. In a few moments, the crowd met the successor of Peter and the successor of Pope Benedict the 16th. Habemus Papam, we have a Pope, and he selected the name of Francis. Yeah, you ask the kids, where does the Pope live? Or they tell you, I don't know, sometimes there's a Santa Rosa or Sacramento, you know. Anyway, but we know he is the Bishop of Rome, the head of the church. Now, what's so great about this Pope? First, he is a Jesuit. Secondly, he wears a Dominican habit, although it's modified. Thirdly, he has the heart of a Franciscan. So you have a Pope who is a Jesuit, a Dominican, and a Franciscan. Now, Francis, a few weeks ago, stunned the whole world by publishing his encyclical named Laudato Si. See, every encyclical is named by the first few words that it starts with. Laudato si, I praise you. Which I think is second to the most famous encyclical of Pope Leo XIII, called again, Rerum Novarum, of many things, where he championed the conditions and rights of workers and the relationship between employers and employees. I've been trying for a long time how to combine the encyclical of Francis and today's gospel. The encyclical is quite long, 24,000 words, but you can find it on Yahoo or Google, and you can find a synopsis of it if you want to. I think it's an encyclical that everybody should read, and especially students. Lot to learn from there. I found while I reading it some type of connection, relationship with the Gospels that we have been reading, known as the Gospels of the Bread of Life. You know, for the last two Sundays, today and the following Sunday, the Gospels from John. Pope Francis starts with the Canticle of Saint Francis. Praise be to you, my Lord, through our sister, Mother Earth, who sustains us, governs us, and produces all kind of fruits with colorful flowers. And then Pope Francis invites us not only to praise the Lord, but also to be good stewards of creation, not to waste or damage our earth, but to love and cherish it. We have a shared responsibility for others and for the world, our home. The Pope calls us to a proper relationship with God, with one another, with the environment. So the questions, there are two questions that I like to bring up. First, what do we want to leave behind for our children? Secondly, the most important question, What kind of values do we want to live, to pass on? Remember, we are responsible, all of us, and this responsibility knows no boundaries. Pope Paul VI, in his encyclical on the development of people, says that no one is justified in keeping exclusive use what he does not need. Now we have to be careful here. We are not becoming socialists or communists. Remember, there are things that you need and things that you want. And there is a big difference here. Sure, I want a beautiful car. So that, you know, you think you are the richest man on earth. But I am happy with the analytical measure here with my Honda, which is over 10 years old. And that Honda has not seen a mechanic for the last 10 and a half years. I think that's a good record. Except, of course, for the normal changing of oil. As you know, mechanic always says, well, you need this and you need that, you know. I said, I do it next time. So, what responsibility do we have towards God and His creation? Sometimes we create need where none exists. I, for example, you know, give you an example. I have two boxes that I have been carrying for about 25, 30 years. I don't know what's in them. So why do I keep carrying them from one place to another? I don't know. One of these days I'm going to open the window and throw them out. So don't walk beneath my window there. Sometimes we create need where there is none. We become a giant machine of production. Now, I know that Catholics are very generous people. If you read that book by Matthew Kelly, he said the global reach and contribution of the Catholic Church is enormous. Believe it or not, the Catholic Church, that means you are part of the church, feeds, he says, millions of people a year, and that in the United States only. Credit, of course, to St. Vincent de Paul Society, to Catholic charities, so forth and so on. So many societies. Now, if we give this, leave it in the hands of the government, you know that it will never succeed. Because first of all, they have to sit to form a commission. And then that commission has to sit to form another commission. And then another commission. And we go creating a commission of a commission of a commission of a commission. And we keep talking for years and years and nothing done. So, leave it in the hand of the church. It will take care of it. Yet we must also remember that there are people not only hungry for what is material, but also for spiritual need. Last Sunday, the gospel dealt with our need for bread and with society's need for a just distribution and conservation of the earth's resources in order that the poor and those not yet born will have enough to sustain life. Today, the gospel moves further in, moves to our need for the bread that comes down from heaven so that we will be spiritually fed. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Now, if you go back to the first reading, remember, the people were complaining. And poor Moses, you know, because he spent 40 years with these people in the desert. And they were complaining. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? We were better off as slaves. Oh, Moses, he could have said, go back. But nobody wanted to go back. So Moses pleaded with God. And God took care of the people. The manna came down from heaven. Now, who came down from heaven for us is Jesus Christ. He invites us to the Eucharistic supper. He came down from heaven so that we will be spiritually fed in our hunger and thirst. We come to Jesus. Can you imagine how disappointed Jesus was, as we read in last Sunday's gospel, when he was trying to give the people the bread from heaven himself, and all they were concerned is about what are they going to eat, were concerned about the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves. Now, bread is very important. It was much more important in the time of Jesus, and in some places too. Now we don't pay much attention to bread. First of all, there are people who are on a diet. They don't want to see any bread at all. And then if you want to go by bread, you have to make a decision. Do you want French, sourdough, rye? What else do I have? I don't know. Anyway, when I used to go to buy bread, you buy bread and that's it. You go to the bakery, there's one loaf, whether you like it or not, and you walk out. But it was so good, fresh, warm. In the time of Jesus, if you didn't have bread and wine on the table, and remember, they had no choice of bread. If you didn't have bread and wine on the table, you were really a poor person. That's why Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. Our unity with Jesus and the Holy Eucharist can be a dynamic encounter with God who loves us and feeds us. Bread, as I said, is essential for life. Jesus gives life. Therefore, he is the essential of life. He can therefore be described as the bread of life. The promise, which contains the invitation in Isaiah to come and eat without pay, is fulfilled in the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves. And what's more important, it is fulfilled every time we come to celebrate the Eucharist, the bread of life. So Sunday after Sunday, we come together to put into practice, into action, the commandments of Christ. Do this in memory of me. And we come to him. And we see how with so little Jesus can feed a whole congregation. You want a complete, fulfilled life? Come to the Eucharistic Jesus. I found this in our secretary's office. If you are happy, and you know it, say amen. And if you are not happy, you have a chance. Come to Jesus today. And come with faith. And in your own heart, between you and him, when you approach the altar, make that profession of faith. which was made over 2,000 years ago by Thomas. Just say, my Lord and my God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.